Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Yeah? Did anybody forget to say Happy Mother's Day? My kids did until they heard a commercial this morning. They heard it on the way here and like, oh, it's Mother's Day. Ha ha, I'm throwing you guys under the bus this time. I'm not going to throw my wife under the bus because we made a deal if I want to live at home. I'll stop doing that. We'll see, right? Love you, honey. Happy Mother's Day. I hope you're having a great day already. I hope you have some awesome plans for Mother's Day. I love to joke. One of the churches that we worked at, Mother's Day was like a sacred day. It was, and as it should be, right? We actually had Sunday night services, and on Mother's Day, guess what we didn't have? Sunday night services. Loved Mother's Day. I absolutely loved Mother's Day because I have a wonderful mom. Also, I didn't have to work on Sunday nights on that one. I also gave my boss a hard time because Father's Day came, and he goes, well, I'm a father, and I'd love to be at church, so we're going to be church service during Saturday or Sunday night. I'm like, man, I'm a father. I also love church, but I like to be home, too. But yeah, Mother's Day is a great time, right? I love, I've already texted my mom this morning to let her know how much I love her. I hope you have done the same thing. Make sure you let them know. Not just one day, but every day, right? We take many things for granted. And one of those things that I know I look back and as my mom, I took her for granted for most of my high school and life with her. And some of that is part of the whole thing of being a mom and probably being a parent. You get taken for granted, and that's okay, right? But, moms are very, very precious. So, happy Mother's Day. We're doing a series right now called Reset. Last week, we started this off and kind of reimagining what life is resetting. Trying to figure out what life looks like after COVID. And last week we talked about how to reset, how to be united together. And what does that look like? And how do we live as a church together, right? And some of those things falls in line with our own heart of being united with Christ. Finding, understanding that we need to be connected to his life, his resurrection, and his death. Right? And all those things, we are united together. And sometimes we don't live that way. Sometimes we don't live together that way. Today, we're going to talk about how do we live? And maybe we need to reset that button of how we live. My years in college, I would say I had a couple jobs in college where I was a tire tech. At Sears Automotive, I changed oil, I changed tires and batteries, and then after that, there was a time I was slinging propane. I enjoyed those jobs, right? I enjoyed being there, but there were moments in those jobs that you had to deal with people that you're like, I don't want to deal with them. It's not fun. I got in a couple cars, I'm like, how? How do you live like this? And it would be, you don't want to touch anything in the car, right? You're like, oh, can I hover, right? Slinging propane, coworkers, I'd rather sling the propane at them than work with them that day. You just don't, everyday life. Now, it's never like that in church. Never. Love working with everybody in the church, right? No, it's the same thing, a little bit different. We have Christ to be at the center of it, and there needs to be understanding. There's more grace in church. I'll be honest. There's more understanding in church. There's those things that happen in those interactions. But, I've had a couple of conversations with people of how they interact with the world of people, and it's not fun. They lie to you, they cheat you, they steal you from you, and it's just not fun dealing with people. And then it becomes this point where we put up a wall, right? I'm going to talk about worship. kind of a weird combination right there, right? You know, I just talked about how it's tough to live with people and worship. This morning has been an awesome time to be worship. I really appreciated the band. They did a great job lifting up our voices to God this morning, right? Can you imagine? Every worship service has its own unique personality. There are some, even here, there are some Sundays like, woo, we're excited to be here, and we are like amens and praising the Lord, and our arms are lifted, right? And then there's other days, but I just want to be in his presence and hear him, be with him, and like everybody else just kind of melts away, right? That's an awesome thing, and we are here to worship God, right? Can you imagine if worship Monday through Saturday looked like that? Like you are a bank teller and you just get blessed and all of a sudden both hands go up? It's a little awkward in that moment, right? Because what message are you saying in that moment? The world doesn't understand. Is she being held up? No, she's being blessed in that moment. Right? Can you imagine all of a sudden, you know, you're out at the farm and you're just, woohoo! Right? Just woke somebody up. Right? And the other ranch hands are like, what happened to Logan today? Something happened to him. Right? Had a great day this morning. Just, can you imagine what it looks like to bring what we do on a Sunday, how we worship on a Sunday, to Monday through Saturday? It doesn't quite correspond half the time, nor should it. That's not what I'm saying, but I think I want to broaden your minds of what worship means. We're going to look at Romans 12, 1 through 2, all right? It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will is his good and pleasing perfect will. All right, one of the things I want to really focus on, this is your true and proper worship. What does this look like Monday through Saturday? Right? How do we live out worship Monday through Saturday? It's kind of confusing sometimes. I don't think about, I'm not going to tell you that you need to be listening to Christian music as you drive to work, but it might help. Right? I'm going to tell you. It would help also to maybe just shut off the radio that morning and just listen for God. Right? But I want to tell you some more things of how to deal with the people that are not fun to deal with, and that's worshiping God. We are called as a people of God to be like God, to conform our mind to him, right? Think about that. What does that look like of how we deal with people that we can't deal with, that treat us horribly? Customer service, I don't want to ever be back in customer service. I guess you could say I'm kind of in it, but not really. But I have no desire to be a waiter anymore. I don't have any desire to sell anything to anybody because, man, customers are jerks half the time, right? I remember walking into Kroger, and I was either grumpy that day or something, and I had both my kids. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a fan of grocery shopping. I love now being able to put my order in, and then they bring it out to me so I never have to step in the building again. Anybody else love to shop that way? Oh, praise the Lord, right? That's something I'd be in my car as they deliver. Woohoo! Honk, 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 you know. That's how I would roll. I love that. But going in, if I have to go in, I have to prepare my heart. I have to be prayed up. All right, I just do. I have to be prayed up, and I have to go, okay, let's remember what grace is. All right, let's remember how to love today, because I'm going to have this interaction with people that I'm like, I just want to run them over with my cart. Right? The very last, did I hear, this is who we hired as a pastor? All right, I was with my kids, and I guess either they were acting up, I don't know. I was just impatient that day, and we get in, and I was during the moment where they were, like, restocking, which is like, it was like 5 p.m. peak business hours, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go down. Nope, can't go down that aisle. I want to go down that aisle. Now I have to go all this way out of my, you know, and then the people that were working there, I heard them complain about their hours, heard them complain about how much they're getting paid, but they're not even stocking. They were just sitting there complaining. And I'm like, I just want to go through your aisle. Let me go through your aisle. Ah! Yeah, I still need to be prayed for. All right? I think about this and how we deal with people. And then when we conform our minds and our hearts to God, and in those moments, how we need to be loving and bring peace. I know it sounds odd. Maybe if I stopped in that moment and me and my kids just helped stop, what that would have changed in that moment, right? How would it just change the whole atmosphere? Like, what would my kids learned in that moment instead of me going, can you believe it, kids? Don't. If I ever hear you whine about your job, they're paying you and you're not being working, and like, that's ridiculous. You should be fired. I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know what issues they're dealing with, but also, if I've been saved, I've been given grace. We talked about this last week, right? That I'm united with Jesus Christ, who lived this life for me, who died his life for me, and defeated death for me. And guess what I had to do for it? Absolutely nothing. And how many times have I been a whiner and complainer, and somebody looks down and goes, why did I make him? But he never once has. He looks at me and sees the joyful creation that he has created and goes, I want so much for him. And in that moment, if I am to worship my Lord and Savior, my body, my mind has to be in line with God. And I start to think about that. How many often do I worship God? I have been blessed to be at Decatur First Church of the Nazarene the past 5 years. I started off as a youth pastor and then became an executive pastor. But in that, we had a family ministry team. And every Wednesday, we would go out to eat at B-Dubs. They were like the only thing still open at that time. All right? And we would decompress. We would talk about what happened in our ministries that night. We talk about the wins and the losses. And we talk about the frustrations. And we talk about the prayers, right? In that, we built relationships with the wait staff there. I can tell you, Jordan, Corey, Laura, Alec, there was a couple others that we just got to know over the past 5 years. And me and the family ministry team started to think about how we can love on B-Dubs in this time. Now, B-Dubs is notorious in Decatur to not being efficient at getting food out. Right? And luckily, like half the time we were there, we wouldn't recognize, hey, 45 minutes later, we still haven't got our food, because we're still joking and laughing and having fun about that night. And our wait staff started recognizing the joy that we had. And they would linger around our table. And then, of course, it came, what do you guys do? Which is always the dangerous question. Well, I've been joking so much. Now do I want to tell them what I do? I'm a pastor. Really? Yeah, I'm a pastor. We're pastors. Awesome. And it started building and building. And I remember one night, Corey, he was a manager there, and he also worked in the kitchen sometimes, and he was doing all over. He came out and goes, hey, I'm not really a religious man, but my mom has cancer. Middle of B-Dubs. Can you be praying for me? Now, I had two choices there. I would never say no, but my choice was, yes, I'll pray for you, and then move on with our day. Or say, Corey, sit down. Let me hear about your story, and let's pray for you. Let's pray over you and pray for your mom. What's your mom's name? How can we pray for her? Where is she at? Can we visit her? We invited him down. And tears just started rolling down everybody's cheeks. In that moment, I felt more true worship than I had felt in a long time on a Sunday morning. Because I said yes to God. We said yes to God. He opened that door. And Corey, who was not a religious man, all of a sudden felt open. And he received Christ's love, whether he knew it or not. And all of a sudden, we just started adopting every waiter and waitress that we had. We decided, oh, you know what? Which is funny, as pastors, we should know what the mission field is, right? We decided B-Dubs is our mission field. And they became our second family. We adopted one of the lady's daughter as one of somebody that every holiday we try to figure out what can we buy her as a gift? What can we start storing up? You know, just get a Chuck E. Cheese gift card. So we started talking to Laura, actually, and going, what's her interest? What can we get her? And we blessed Laura with that. And this from this point on, every time, I feel like we get the best service while we're there. And it was not our intention, but, everybody just comes, hey, we love this table because they love on us. It didn't take them to be nice to us. See, this is the part that we need to start turning around in our eyesight and reset. We don't need to wait for the world to be nice to us to show them grace and mercy and caring and the same love that we've received from God. In fact, they're dying to hear it and see it and be part of it. So it needs to change my Monday through Saturday of how I worship God. It's not just song, and it's not just being in a pew and being talked to. It's not just being inspired in this moment of peace. It is something that is life ever-changing, and I go out and I worship him, and by worshiping him, I live the way he's called me to live. Let's look at some of the other verses. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters. Colossians 3, 20, 23. This is something that's an indictment on anybody that has employees. Anybody that is an employee. This is how you should work. Think about that. I am challenged by that. There's times I come even here and I'm like, I don't feel like working today. And I go visit that couch that's in my office and I decide to close my eyes. And then it's about Ben. And then Jay comes in to complain, and like, Jay, I can't, no, not today. Not at all. There are days that I'm not grateful for what God has given me as an opportunity where I work. Not even about what I make, not even about what I'm getting as a blessings for what I am working for, but the opportunities of relationships that come to my step because he provided this. Imagine your one goal when you work is not about getting money, not about getting any of that stuff, but you go there to work to worship God. And in that, you start building relationships with people that are for eternity, even if they backstab you, even if they talk bad about you, even if you see double standards and corruption and lying and deceit. I've heard stories. I've seen it in my world that I've lived in. It's out there. But what do we have in control of who we are? Our actions with it. And if we go to work with this mindset and we think about it in the terms of God is good and I worship him while I work and I toil and I do and he's given this to me and I'm going to do this to respond to him and I'm going to be the best employee or the best boss out there because God loves me? What does that do for everybody around you? Guess what? Some things are going to change. You won't be a part of the gossip circle anymore. Because you won't want to be a part of it, and you won't celebrate it. You'll also become a trusted advocate. Your door will probably be one that's knocked on quite a bit, going, hey, this is what's going on. I don't know what to do. Because the more we worship God, guess what starts to happen? We start to use God's wisdom in those moments. The more that we're worshiping God in our Monday through Saturday, we are inviting God early on in the process of our day, we respond the way God wants us to respond. And then all of a sudden, the unjust things that have happened to me get put in a spot that's not unjust anymore. Because who's at the center of my life? God is. Think about that. When we think things are unjust in our life, yeah, there's things in this world that are unjust. There's things that people are getting paid more than me, and I do 80% of the work. And I see them doing nothing. You're right, that's unfair. I tell my kids this every day that they whine about something. What do I say to you? Life is, that's right. Right? It is. We don't live in a fair world. I like to even do something, and this is a horrible parent I am. I'll bring home one milkshake just for one of them. I'm like, ha ha. Just to help them know life's unfair. Whoever wins at the fight that night wins. Like, that's part of life, isn't it? But when we put ourselves in the moment of God and we understand that my life is not what's in central to this moment, it is God that's at the center of this moment, it helps me understand what really is unjust. And what's unjust is that they don't know grace. They don't understand holiness. They don't understand redemption. They don't have Jesus yet moving in their life. And guess what you're called to be? That. We can see it in the interaction with Jesus and his disciples in the moment of the garden where he's saying, please wake up, stay with me, and pray with me. And they don't, and they sleep. And he's like, oh. You know, in that moment, the third time, he could have just walked away. I mean, like, I'm done with them. No, loved on him still, invested in him still. And then the soldier that comes to take him, you know, Peter's like, ah, no, I'm going to take my sword out. And he, you know, he just flails at the sword and chops out the guy's ear. And Jesus says, wait, he's got a job to do. Let him do it. And in that grace, he picks up the guy's ear and puts it back on. You see, we're so ready to defend our faith. And what really God wants is you to live out your faith. That's what changes a world. And when we worship him, we understand that the Monday through Saturday, too. You see, we think we watch too much news. Let's just be honest. When we get on Facebook too much and we start seeing that I'm going to lose this right and I'm going to lose this, and it's not, I'm scared. Who wins? Who wins this? If you read all the scripture, who wins? God wins. He always wins. Stop worrying. God's got you. Right? Somebody might take your stuff. It's just stuff. God's got you. You look at that early church and we go back to last week. Why did they start giving all their stuff, selling all their stuff, and just the numbers of people started just driving into it? Because they didn't care about their stuff anymore. They cared what God was going to do with their stuff. Because they were worshiping God, just not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. And it wasn't just necessarily about music. It wasn't about a sermon. It was about this life ever-changing, ever-giving God that created them and sent his son to die for them. And they believed it. And by believing it, they lived it. So let's look at some other. Dear children, let us not love with our words or speech, but with actions and in truth. 1 John 3:18. We do a lot of talking. But follow through is tough. James says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If you read further on, I just wanted to stop here because it's simple. Don't deceive yourselves by just reading it and go, yeah, I know what the word is. Some of you might have been the best quizzers and have it down. But your quizzing life doesn't match up to your action life. Your knowledge of Scripture can only go so far. And if it's not being lived out on a daily basis, it's useless. Now, I love when people post Scripture. God loves that. But let's take this even a bigger, giant step. God loves seeing it lived out in our everyday life. We're all flawed. We all have our issues. We all have our weaknesses. We all have our moments that we regret. I have tons of them. I have a laundry list of things that I still apologize for. I have a laundry list of things that I'm still ashamed of. God loves me. Do you know how long I feel like it took me to really believe that? It's a shame that a lot of people read this word, see where God loves them, but they still are so full of shame. And they think they got to clean up before they come to God. They think they need to be perfect before they approach God. I'm going to tell you, that's a lie. God sent his son into this world because he loves this world. Guess what? This world was messy back then, even probably messier than it is now. And after Christ was crucified, they used Christians as light stands. Look it up. It's Nero. It was a scary place to be as a Christian. You were, like, the things that you were said about as a follower of Christ, it was shameful to be a follower of Christ. They talked about, they did communion, so this is the body, this is the blood. So they took that as literal, and so they started spreading out all these rumors of, like, hey, if you follow Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, you're a cannibal. And it was sold that way. But in that time, too, this is during the Romans' time, let me tell you some things. If you had a baby and it was not a healthy baby, if there's some deformities, guess what they did with that baby? They just put it to the side in the trash. So guess what the church in that early time decided that they found? It's a ministry. And they loved and found those kids. They hung around the trash heap to bring them in and love them. And raise them. They didn't necessarily go off and condemn the people that did it. They loved on the ones that were trash and allowed God to work through that. And again, what happened? Their numbers increased and increased, even during a time that it was scary to be one of them. Because they knew how to worship Monday through Saturday. They knew that it wasn't just a Sunday that I come here and I dress up and I look pretty. It was a Monday through Saturday where it can get greasy, that it can get tough, and I might have to go into work today and ask for forgiveness because I said something, I did something, or I participated in something, because guess what? God moves in that way. Maybe I have to go to my spouse and ask, hey, you know, I need to admit this and I'm sorry. God's bigger than the things that we do. We need to start believing that. Do you need to reset how you live your life? I would like to maybe even change that question. Do you need to reset how you worship God? Sundays are great. We come in and we have these expectations too, like, right? We have these songs. Man, I hope they played this song, or I hope the pastor actually makes sense today. I hope the slides work. I want so-and-so. I want to see new faces there. I hope people just get saved. These are the things I want, God. Can they not happen? Please let this happen on a Sunday. All great things. You know what's really important about Sunday? We get together as a community of believers and we just worship God. Just acknowledge He's the Creator. He's our Master. He's our Leader. He's our Lord. He's everything we need and everything that we should want. And we come here to let Him hear that. And then as a community, we go, okay, how can we love each other? And we pray for each other. We show grace to each other. We disciple each other. You know what that looks like? I'm still trying to figure that out, what it means to disciple each other. I see it in Scripture, but application within the American thought process is tough. We don't like to be held accountable. We don't like to be told, hey, you made a bad choice here. Even we don't necessarily like to be told, hey, that's not where God's leading you. Those are tough things to hear. Discipleship is tough. What I would love for you to, as you leave today, do I need to reset my life to a point where I know when I wake up, I'm worshiping God? And when people see me, it's just as odd as seeing me worship Him like this, in a weird spot. Like I joked about it, like being a bank teller and putting your arms up in a random moment. I think it's just as odd showing grace and mercy to people. I think it's just as odd showing love and reaching out to people that are not used to being reached out to. I don't know if I've told this story. I've been reluctant in telling. I don't want to repeat this story, but this story has changed my life on the perspective of how to love people and what ministry looks like. The speaker came and he goes, he talked about a men's small group that met at a coffee shop. And they were there every week. And they got to know the barista there. And they knew her by name. And they cared about her. And they joked with her, right? And all of a sudden they noticed she wasn't at work anymore. So they went up and talked to the manager. Where's this barista been? Well, she had to quit because her car broke down. And so they, in their mind, as they're meeting, they started thinking about, we want her back. We love having her there. How can we show Christ in this moment? So they pulled all their money together and bought her a car. But that's not the best part of the story. They didn't give her the car. They went up to the manager and said, okay, listen, this is what we want to see happen. We want to give this gift to her, right? But we want you to be the one that gives it to her. And we want you to be the one that doesn't tell her about us at all being a part of it. We want it to be from you. They're so wise in this moment. Because a couple things here. It's easy to go, yeah, I led somebody to the Lord. Woohoo! And it's who does it become about? Sometimes us. And the victories that we have. Man, they sat there and go, okay, this isn't going to be about us. And also, this manager has an opportunity to change somebody's life. And so they gave him the keys. And he was baffled. And then he went to the person's house and he gave her the car. And he goes, no strings attached. This is all yours. It's a gift from me. The person that it changed the most was that manager. Yeah, she was grateful. But he got to be a part of grace. He got to be a part of mercy. He got to be a part of a gift that's bigger than him. And he realized these men are doing this, and they're not even celebrating it. They're not even the ones that get to be recognized by it. And he goes, this God must be real. Imagine we have more stories like this because we are worshiping Monday through Saturday. And the interactions that we have with people, we realize God is at the center of it. Even the ones that frustrate us provide us an opportunity to worship him. Hear that. It's tough. Trust me, it's tough. The more that I'm connected to God, the more that I have the ability to love the way God loves me. I think I've also said this maybe here. Those who have felt like they haven't heard God's voice or have seen God in a while or feel like they've drifted away from God, I would tell you this. Jesus said, follow me. Pretty simplistic. But a very huge statement in that time. The people that he said followed me was his disciples, and they dropped everything in that moment. What they were working, what were they doing, their families, they went and followed him. It wasn't an easy decision, but they were excited to be a part of it, and they knew what they were getting into. They didn't know the next day where they would have their meal, but they knew what their mission and vision was. I need to follow this guy. My question for you, when you stop following, what tends to happen when the person is leading you, when you stop following? It's harder to see them. When they're leading you and they're talking this way and you're right there with them, you can hear them. The moment you stop, they're leading you. What do you stop to hear? Is it harder to hear them? Yes. See, God never wanted you to be a plant where that just stationary in life. He's called you to move with him. And he'll even use you if you're reluctant. Look at Jonah. Now, I don't inspire you to be a reluctant disciple, but this is the thing. If we're willing to follow him, guess what? He's going to put you in situations and you're going to be able to hear him and see him because you're right next to him. But the moment you decided, I need a break, I need to make this about me in this moment, and we do that more and more and more, which we do with worship, don't we? The worst question when we come home about is, so how was church? Guess what that makes it? A consumer product. Well, I give it 5 stars today. He had a good sermon. I give it 1 thumb up. Eh. It's not a consumer product. It's not something to like. It's something to participate in. So how was church? It was life-changing today because I came and I worshiped and gave my life to God this day. It gets rid of all the stuff about myself and puts God in the center of it. So let's go back and look real quick, okay? I'm going to ask you, how are you going to offer up your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God? Because this is the true proper form of worship. Think about that this week. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that this message was your message. I pray that that whatever is said, that we remember what you have said. I pray that our lives are always pointing back to Scripture, that our actions are always pointing back to Scripture, and that you have called us to worship you Monday through Sunday. And that as we worship you, it's not just singing, it's not just listening, it's not just reading, it's not just these things, but it's this call to live out your word. Help us love the people that you put around us. Help us love the ones that are unlovable. Help us be ones that bring peace and joy. Help us lead. Help us be the ones that our bodies and our minds and our souls are at your beck and call. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We give you all praise this morning. Lord, I pray that we reset our life to be directed towards you. I pray that that be something that we are encouraged about this morning. We lift up all our prayer requests, Lord. You know our hurts, our desires, our worries and our concerns and anxieties that we live with, Lord, and I pray that we can lay them at your feet and trust you with them. I pray that the burdens that we carry around day in and day out, that we can be freed from them and be willing to do your ministry that you've called us to do, dear Lord. We love you. We worship you. Amen. Church, go knowing that you have to worship God tomorrow, and not that you have to, but you're excited to worship God tomorrow.